The Six Pointer Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Six Pointer Podcast. It's returned to the pod for a Wembley trip, right? Same time we pod these days. You know, Wembley again, ole ole. Myself, Matthew, you here with my brother Luke. We are in the infamous home of the pod now, Pizza Express in Baker Street, pre the Charity Shield game against Liverpool today. Another Wembley trip, bruv. How are you enjoying this one so far?
I said to you earlier, bruv, isn't it lovely to come to Wembley with no anxiety, no tension, just here to enjoy the day? You know, I mean, obviously we enjoyed the semi-final, the cup finals and the semi-finals before and the playoff finals, but it's always got that undertone of anxiety or nervousness, but I've got none of that today. You know, it's just, we're having a good day out, mate. We've had a very quick pint of Guinness in the spoons. Oh, there's a tiramisu. I love it, look at that. Tiramisu turn up. Thank you, mate. Tiramisu.
This is the podcast. This is tiramisu turn up.
I've been completely distracted from what I was saying now because the tiramisu has taken my attention.
An enjoyable day out.
It's nice to have no adverse sort of feelings about the day. Just looking forward to it, really. And
what, the tiramisu or the day itself?
Really looking forward to the tiramisu. Obviously, it's looking at me in a certain way that it knows it's in trouble.
Well, last time we were here, there were nerves wrangling, weren't they? Because it was pre the cup final game, and like you say, that's a very different situation to be in. Today feels like a nice day out, a bit of a not a pre-season friendly, but a bit of a win-win really, unless we get walloped.
Well, this is an exclusive tournament, bro, that only the very best teams can compete in. Because to play in this game, no matter what you say about it being a glorified friendly or people don't care about it being a major trophy, which really isn't, let's be honest, you have to have either won the league, won a cup, or is it if someone does the double, is the league cup? Is it second?
It's Charity Shield. It's always the... It's always the Premier League and the FA Cup.
So if someone does a double, I assume it goes to League Cup or second place. Anyway, the point was, if to play in this game, you've had to have a banging season before.
Yeah.
So it is a celebration of only the elite clubs that did very well last year, like Palace. And here we are, mate. We're here to enjoy the day. We're going to get to see Liverpool's millions of pounds they spent, which will be interesting, but... Nobody cares about Liverpool. Here for the Palace. Here for the Palace. You're only here for the Palace. So we've got a very nice double espresso. Thank you, mate. Cheers. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's all going on. I feel quite privileged, I guess, to have this occasion and to have an opportunity to go to a game that Palace have never in their history had before.
Yep.
You know, today, you know, that Palace haven't, as a fan base, as a club, been to Wembley for a Charity Shield. We're not calling it a Community Shield, by the way. It is the Charity Shield.
I think it was always known as the Charity Shield, but I don't know when it changed to Community Shield. Charity Shield, I think, feels very 90s. It feels the season opener. It was the first game you see on BBC that season, wasn't it? Like, when you think hark back before all that sort of stuff.
On BBC? It's one of those ones where, look, we've never been in the race, never been at the table for it. So to be there today, to be on our way there, is a fantastic day out. And it's going to be fun, right? And like I say, as long as we don't get walloped, it's going to be a bit of not a nice day. And the result is a bit sort of irrelevant, really. But yeah, it's just cool to be there.
And also a nice distraction from all the... I don't know if negativity is the right word, but I mentioned anxiety earlier, maybe about that around sort of the whole Europe situation and that sort of thing. This is a chance to get back to the football, a chance to talk about a football game, a 90 minutes which happens on the pitch, regardless of how important you think it is. You know, Palace are playing at Wembley in the sunshine, 25 degrees, shorts and t-shirt weather, under balloons. Let's have a good time, mate.
Yeah, mate. It's brilliant. It's really nice. And it's... you know, I was thinking about people who are of a younger age, like my daughter being 8. You know, she's seen Palace go to Wembley now. multiple times in her life. Obviously, the Palace Cup win, and then she's seen that within 8 years, and we've waited, well, me over 40 years, you nearly. So, and some other people will be listening today, and many Palace fans, a lot longer. So, yeah, really privileged to have the opportunity to have this nice day out that it will be. Like you say, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and unfortunately, it's not taken the edge off what we achieve, because the cup final win would always be the cup final. It's kind of typical Palace. There would always be something. It would never be easy, would it? It'd never be an easy path.
So, yes, but I also feel this whole sort of thing. I mean, obviously, the European thing, but the transfer window in general, I find frustrating, I guess, in the sense that, I don't know if frustrating is the right word. It's been talked about ad nauseum, and I guess a bit like the European thing. I'm just a bit bored of it now. You know, I mean, I'm bored of transfer windows. I'm bored of talking about the whole Europe thing and what may or might not happen. And obviously, everyone's got their own view on that. Well, obviously, we'll find out tomorrow what will happen.
It's tomorrow definitive, is it?
Yeah, I think that's when the decisions will be made. Although, obviously, it could be that Forest then appeal that if it goes in Palace's way, or
can
I assume so. I don't know.
I didn't think they could, because they were like the bystanders in the situation, in the sense that they've qualified what they qualified, and this is an additional thing if Palace were to fall out.
Well, this is a good example of what we're talking about here, right? Nobody knows, because this is the whole sort of summer and weeks of Twitter and social media. And I say, going back to the transfer window, right? You don't have to be a genius to work out that Palace, no matter what they say, always do their transfer business last, right? And
yep.
That's because of the position we're in. We can't go and pay the top bucks. There's a bit of brinkmanship goes on. There's that sort of trying to get the best deal, and that, which is why a club like Crystal Palace, that doesn't have an infinite amount of resources, has to wait until last minute to get the best price from a selling club that perhaps realises in the 11th hour that, oh, hang on, we're not going to get 26 million worth of selling for Palace for 16 or whatever. Anyway, the problem I have is that social media, WhatsApp groups, whatever it is, people get so wound up by what they see being reported on BBC, Sky Sports News, of the likes of Liverpool, for example, going and spending, what was Wirtz, 120 million or what it was he's playing
today?
They
spent multiples of 10, don't they? 50, 70, 100 and so on.
And because people see that, they think, oh, hang on, why aren't we doing that?
Yeah.
Well, it's because we're not Liverpool. We haven't just won the Premier League. We haven't been playing in the Champions League for the last 20 years. You know, like, you can't benchmark yourself against that. I think people do that and they forget where we are. And you know, we're not a small club in any sense, but we're not on the level of like a Liverpool or anything like that, right? We're not able to go and send hundreds of millions, because we've got guaranteed income, we've got, you know, millions and millions and millions come through shirt sales alone, you know, all this sort of stuff, right? So I think people need to compartmentalise a little bit. Palace will do, I'm sure, what they need to do by the end of the window. Let's enjoy the ride. Let's not worry about it too much. And a bit like the whole Europe thing, bruv, like, I would be obviously disappointed not to play in Europa League, right? Because Palace have earned that right. And I was thinking about this on the way here, actually, in the training way here, right? We were sitting here before the final. The whole European conversation didn't happen. Didn't even come into my head until we got to that pub back at London Bridge and we talked about it. I didn't even think
we
about.
We realised, didn't we? Yeah.
I didn't think about it before the game. I didn't think to myself that, if we win the FA Cup, we get Europe. It was. It's an added bonus, right? And yes, it shouldn't be taken away from Palace for a myriad of reasons that we're not going to go into here, right? But at the end of the day, right, like I said to you, at least once, we're going to be in a European city on a Thursday afternoon, having a few beers, ticket or not, soaking up with loads of our Palace fans, enjoying the atmosphere, enjoying the perhaps once-in-a-lifetime position that Palace are going to be in. And obviously, from a business point of view, Palace want to be in the Europa League, because if you win the Europa League, you get Champions League football, and that's big money, right? But if you win the Conference League, you get Europa League next season, which hopefully no one could ever take away from Palace. But, you know, a bit like what I was saying, we're going to enjoy it no matter what, right? Let's hope it's the outcome that we earned from winning back in the 17th of May. and it's hope that we are able to go in tomorrow morning with a positive attitude. It's two bits of good news, 2 days in a row, Palace.
I think you're right on the European thing. Like you say, when we realised back at London Bridge after the cup final, it was a bit of a, oh yeah, moment, wasn't it, sort of thing. And I'm cool with that. I'm of the mindset that either way, it's an outcome for us that's positive because we're playing Europe. We've never played Europe before, right? So there's that. And also, I think the less positive outcome, we could win it. Like, we could win it. I know, obviously, we could win the Europa, but we're looking at the teams in the conference. We really could win it. So there's that opportunity there. That's positive. So, you know, on the transfer stuff, I think what's not helped is Glasner's comments recently. I was quite surprised, actually, about how open he was. Now, whether that's him playing a bit of a game, noting that we've got a few to get over the line and we're just messing and, you know, it's he's given the board a nudge to just go on with things. Or if there is actually something in it, because, you know, it was a bit strange for him to come out with that if there's nothing in it.
So what... You go for it, bro. You finish the episode, go on. I think with that, what was interesting was that I watched the press conference yesterday. And yeah, he was visibly a little bit frustrated at the pace that we were progressing. Obviously, he's probably privy to things, conversations have been happening, but the pace obviously getting bodies across the line, because obviously then you can work for him in pre-season. He talks about, like, you know, until, you know, we've got 3 weeks once the season starts, then we've got an international break and they go away and then they come back and you haven't really got any time to work with the players, things to work on systems, things like that, exactly. So I appreciate the frustrations there, right? What was interesting was that he's obviously, what he says on camera is very different to what he says in the what they call it, the press section, not the, well, the broadcast section, because his comments weren't massively different from what you were reading last night in the articles, but I think he presented it very, what's the word, more... like a politician. But then again, bruv, we're reading comments. You don't know how it's... Communication is two ways, right? It's how it's delivered and how it's received, right? So you're reading it in a narrative that person writing it wants you to... digest whatever receives, sort of thing, and words are words, so I'm sure he's not going to be misquoted, but at the same time the way that the article is positioned is different. But he was very open, very... I don't really have a problem with what he said because it's factual, so it's not like it is. And I think what the issue is given this sort of negativity that some Palace fans have around the lack of transfer window and the people getting wound up and stuff like that, this is fuel to the fire. And this is, oh no, because Glasner apparently left his last job because he wasn't back, this is what's going to happen here, right? It's, you know, what is it, misery enjoys company. This is that sort of whole sort of thing, isn't it? That I feel there's probably quite a bit of that, is that people are catastrophizing, you know it's confirmation bias in the worst way possible. You know, you think things are bad, so you're reading the worst into it. And I'm sure that Palace by the end of the window will have what they need to play a 47 game season or whatever it's going to be, like a minimum. And it starts today against Liverpool. Predictions, bruv. Let's do that before we pay the bill.
On to today.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's really hard because there has been a break. Obviously, you would have thought both teams are going to put a full strength side out, but what that means in practice with the break and everything that's happened in between, I'm going to go... Oh, look, you've got to go for Palace win. 2-1 Palace.
2-0 Palace for me. I think it's going to be a shock. And you know, highlighting the ridiculousness of what we just talked about, after Palace beat Liverpool today 2-0, there will be at least one article, I guarantee you, about Arnie Slot and his future being in doubt because he's just lost the Community Shield or Charity Shield to Palace. But look, we're going to pay the bill, get on the train, jump up to Wembley and have a fake Guinness in the stadium for £9. That'd be fine.
If we've got time, we'll do a quick pod in the concourse. Soak up the atmosphere if we can.
Yeah. Maybe a bit more of a somber one than the last one, but we're hyped for the game. Bare atmosphere, like Tom would say. Looking forward to it. I've got 50 red balloons, 50 blue balloons. Palace are going to turn Wembley red and blue again. and it's going to be a great occasion.
We'll be back for part two at some point, TBC when. But until then, as always, up the Palace. Right, welcome back to part two of the Six Pointer podcast. We are here in our winner's pub, I'm just going to call this now, the Redwood Bar in London Bridge, myself and Luke, celebrating another trophy for Crystal Palace. Mate, buses.
Getting boring, isn't it? All this winning stuff at Wembley, you know. Doing it all the time now. We used to sing, what was it? We always won at the Rico, now we always win at Wembley. But it was good. And like you said, I mean, your words were echoing in my mind when we conceded after 4 minutes, and I was worrying, oh shit, is this it now? Is this when we're going to, you know, take a bit of a battering? And I think because every time, especially in that first half, every time Liverpool came forward, it looked worrying. You know, their goal was a fantastic finish. You know, for the bloke to find the corner from that angle, you know, it was between Kamada and Richards that he had to slice it through. And but what was it, after 15 minutes we had the penalty, which even from the other end of the ground it was stonewall for me. Again, we've not seen any of it back yet. We've got the luxury of seeing the Leicester Sheffield Wednesday highlights in the pub now. No Palace highlights, but it was a bit of a worrying first off, as I said, because shortly after, obviously, JP's penalty, they got another goal. Actually, I can't remember their second goal, well, can you? Doesn't matter, does it? But yeah, first half, obviously, 2-1 down.
The cross.
The cross. Oh, yeah, the miss-hit cross. Because that was right in front of us, of course, wasn't it? Where he was trying to, I think he was trying to find a man at the back post. And it looked to me like he sliced it, and it's obviously the spin on the ball has beat Dean Henderson over the top of him, and 2-1 down at half time. But what a second half performance from Palace. Came out more energetic, more hungry. You know, obviously we had the drinks breaks at 25 and 75 minutes, whatever it was, but you know, Palace looked the more energetic of the two teams throughout the 90, I thought, and based on the performance on a whole, thought we deserved that. When was the second our second goal equaliser? Was it 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, it was, because we had the momentum behind us at that point, didn't we? It felt like there was a bit of a turning of the tide in the second half. Palace were a bit flat in the first half. Didn't think we ever really got going. It seemed to be we were going to get something on the break or nothing, but when we got on the ball in the second half, it was really a different Palace team, and I felt that, to be fair, I thought after the first 5-10 minutes of the second half, the rest of the half, we were pretty dominant. I think Liverpool were the better team in the first half, but second half, I think we were the better team, and probably could have won it, actually, towards the end as well, couldn't we? Mateta had at least two sort of one-on-ones. There was a Sarr one-on-one as well at the end. Ezra's one. Yeah, so I think we could have finished it off in normal time. And then obviously there's the whole me and you were saying, what's happening now? You were saying, is it penalties? I was saying, is it extra time then penalties? We weren't sure, but they announced and we went to penalties, and
we could have just read inside page one of the programme and it was right there, bruv, but there we go.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. There it is. I saw it early on the way back. Here we go, look. But there we go. Sorry, we don't read the small print. But no, you're right, bruv. There was that sustained period of pressure probably for around, I don't know, this 60-65 minute onwards for Palace, where we had, you know, we were just pressing forward and showing real sort of guile, and they really struggled to contain Daniel Munoz down that side there, didn't they? And we were having a lot of luck there. It was obviously a game plan, because, you know, it was Chris Richards who, if Munoz wasn't on, he'd sort of turn back and often play it back to Henderson or inside to Gay if Munoz wasn't available. So it was a clear game plan there from Palace. And I think just before we did score that goal, I did see Ismaïla Sarr make that sort of movement where he was off the back of the last defender and trying to make that sideways sort of diagonal run. It was obviously picked up on by the Palace players, who obviously slid him through there for that great finish. Slightly worried, I said at the time, that I was worried that touch he took was a little bit too heavy, but managed to obviously hit it on the inside of the post, and the Palace end then just, it was a glorious moment, because I think there was a feeling of, we deserved that, you know, from that period of pressure. And it was lovely to see sort of a sea of red and blue going absolutely mental. And the noise afterwards for the next sort of 5-10 minutes was quite special. They're always saying it. Nobody does Wembley quite like Palace.
It was interesting because going into penalties, you're like, you're not sure. Well, the first three, you're sure who's going to take them. And then after them, it was a bit unsure, wasn't it, really? And I mean, look, the first one he skied, didn't he? Salah skied the first one.
Yeah.
And then I think Dino saved the second and third?
I think so. But it was interesting, yeah, like you say, Rob, Devenny came on, obviously, with a remit there to take the penalty. Because, you know, he came on with only a couple of minutes left, wasn't it? I thought maybe 4 or 5 minutes left before the end of the game. So he obviously had been earmarked as a potential set-piece taker, or a penalty taker, and we've got to talk about Eze's penalty again, Rob. Like, that run-up and that stuttered thing, and I think I said to you as he was running up, please just smash it. Let's not have another situation like at Newcastle away last season. And it was a pretty tame effort, really, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
Well, also, when obviously Dino had saved the first one, Mateta's penalty was really good, I thought. That was a really, really good penalty. Then Dino saves him from McAllister. And then, you think Ezra's going to step up. You know, he's cool, calm and collected, the big occasion man. And, he does his funny run-up thing. And it's just... I mean, look, that's his technique, right? And he's obviously... He practices them clearly, right? It's not like he turns up and he's trying a new technique, but as a fan seeing him take a few of these now, it's always been a bit even nervy, because I remember there was one of them, was it in the cup? Might have been the League Cup. There was one who did a stutter one, and the keeper bowled under the keeper. We've had a couple of nervy ones, as well as him finishing a couple, or missing a couple now as well. And then obviously when Gakpo then scored, it's one where you think, oh no, the tide's turned. Sars, what penalty was really good, I thought. Then Dino saves the next one, and you're thinking, right, okay, here we go. And I think if he'd scored it, we would have been. We'd have won it? Because it was 2-1 at that point, wasn't it? Maybe not, maybe they still had to miss the next one. But Sosa, with his sort of first bit of action for Palace, well, sort of scuffs it and skies it over the bar, doesn't he? Oh no, back off the bar, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know if it was going to, obviously because it's the other end of us, I didn't know if it was going to drop down and sort of like go across the line, but obviously it didn't. And then it was that when the Hungarian bloke scored. That was probably the best penalty of the evening. That was an absolutely fantastic penalty from him.
And then it's down to Devenny, and you're like, wow, here we go.
Justin Devenny, my favourite player. But yeah, I mean, look, it was a good penalty. You know, he obviously hasn't been taking the advice of Eze. He picks a corner and smashes it, and him running towards Dean Henderson, and obviously JP's not far behind to kick the corner flag. Great, wasn't it? Look, this is, we were talking before, I think we did the first part of the podcast, that this is one of those games that if you win it, nice, if you don't, doesn't really matter. Like I said to you, though, bruv, we're going to need to pop down to IKEA to get another shelf in our trophy cabinet, because the community shield is a sizeable plate, I guess. It's almost like a Bundesliga style sort of plate, isn't it? But another one for the collection, and winning's a good habit to be in. We've got another, 4 competitions we're in this season: League Cup, FA Cup, Premier League, and one of the European competitions. So. I hope that they're making some room down Sellers Park, because we're going to need the room the way we're going. Just get the brasso out and we're going to be polishing some trophies.
It's so nice, though, isn't it, to be going to Wembley to enjoy a day out with no concern. I mean, obviously, like you said, the early goal did create some concern, but even then, if we'd lost today 3-0, it would have been a shame, but you know, it wouldn't really matter. I think also the special way of winning on penalties also, like winning in 90 minutes would have been nice, but I think the penalty shootout, on retrospect, obviously in the moment you'd have taken a win in 90, but on retrospect it was a lovely way to win it. And then, lifting another trophy, and goodness me, this is such a change in Palace fortune, isn't it?
I think you and I and a lot of other people around us were just staring at each other and laughing, just like, here we are, we're doing this again, are we? It's just...
sort of like a disbelief that this is becoming a thing now for Palace. And look, I like it. I'm not complaining. Let's hope that we can continue this good form that we've had now in the last couple of pre-season games and this, obviously, this game as well, into the game next Sunday against Chelsea. Looking forward to that, going to that one. My first trip to Stamford Bridge. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't bet against Palace, would you? Oh, talking of betting, I've just realised. I think I've won about 30 quid on that game.
Lovely
stuff. Beers on me, mate. I'll get the next ones as well, shall I? You had some dinner. I'll buy you dinner as well. Go on, let's go find a curry house and we'll have a celebration. But yeah, look, very happy. Good performance. Bring on the season, bruv.
Yeah, mate. And fingers crossed for a positive result tomorrow for Palace. I mean, whatever happens, like you and I have said earlier, it's Europe, whatever happens to Palace next year. It's absolutely brilliant. It's a byproduct, is that the right term? But it's an outcome from the FA Cup win. It'd be lovely to have the full what Palace are entitled to.
Sure.
But if not, then it's still Europe. So, yeah, like you said, four competitions, already a trophy in the season. And up and away we go. So yeah, look, thanks very much everyone for joining us. Hope you enjoyed today's pod, little bit of a stop and start, obviously the pilgrimage to Pizza Express as always, in the pre-Wembley game, and then obviously the winner's pub, as it's now known in the Redwood. But yeah, hope you enjoyed the game today. Enjoy your Palace evening celebrations.
Watch Match of the Day if it's on Match of the Day. I don't know. Watch the highlights. I'm sure it'll be on the Palace website and everyone enjoy it. You know, bask in the glory of Palace lifting a trophy, because I would say it doesn't happen very often. It's happened twice in the last 3 months now. So,
and as always, up the Palace.
The Six Pointer Podcast.